than hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. We've got Michael Allwood, managing editor of the Columbus Free Press and former host of the Blue Diner. Michael, are you feeling blue after the vice presidential debate yesterday?
I'm feeling something, but it's more like an itch than being blue.
Those sons of the rich, they're the ones that give you an itch, Michael.
Yeah. And if I'm going to boil down last night's debate into a simple phrase, what I saw was the vice president mansplaining an alternative reality. In his view, things are just hunky-dory in America during one of the worst episodes in our history. I honestly could compare this in tragic terms to even the Civil War, as far as impact on society as a whole. It is obviously an historic moment in our history, and he's trying to paint a picture of everything being just rosy. And that's just not the case. And when I say mansplaining, what I'm talking about is his insistence. Obviously, he was not as bombastic as Donald J. Trump was during the first debate with Joe Biden, but he still completely ignored the rules of the debate. He continually overran his time, ignored the monitor's admonishments of him doing so, and constantly just adding more comments. I mean, he started complete sentences after the moderator tried to cut him off on many occasions. So again, it's an example of how he and Trump both consider themselves in the privileged class, where his voice matters much more than Senator Kamala Harris's. And it was just a display of that attitude that the privileged class has in America.
And by alternative universe and reality, did it seem like he was just making stuff up at various points and trying to say it in an authoritarian way?
No, I got the impression that it was very clear to him what messages are to be put out there. And if you noticed, he never made a positive point without linking it to Trump. Everything was because Trump's efforts to make everything so great, as he tried to picture it. And it was, I think that anybody with any sense should be able to see through this as a tissue of lies. I mean, it's just not the case. The economy is not as well off as he tried to explain it. The rate of the pandemic is as bad as it's been, and is getting worse within the White House, that's for certain. I mean, it surely brings the situation to a point in all our minds with the pandemic running through the White House as it has. And it seems like every day somebody else, Chris Christie's in the hospital, it was revealed today. There are
Chris Christie, who you saw in pictures with Rudy Giuliani practicing for the president's first debate. None of them wearing a mask. That Chris Christie?
That's the one.
And you would think, you know, because of his size and age that, you know, he would be very susceptible to this type of virus, that he'd be high risk.
Yes, very much so. Like the president, he's overweight. His lifestyle is probably not conducive to a healthy state of being. Obviously, they've ignored social distancing and wearing of masks within the White House. It's incredible. And then, of course, Pence goes on that debate last night trying to say how well the administration has handled this pandemic. And it's ludicrous.
Well, he said they've handled it far better, right, than the flu in the Obama administration.
Right. And that was that was one of the most incredible things. As I said earlier, that's not comparing apples to oranges. That's comparing watermelons to juniper berries. It's incredible I'm surprised that somebody even gave him that as a talking point. And speaking of things that I could not believe were talking points, I never thought I'd see any modern politician give accolades to the fracking industry. But I saw it last night. Bob?
Yeah, we saw some interesting stuff last night. I was just sort of reminded of him trying to explain away Trump saying there were good people on both sides, when one side were neo-Nazis chanting Nazi slogans from the 1930s like blood and soil. Again, they get the soil after they eliminate the lesser folks. The intervention.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think, they talk about what a great debater he is. How would you rate him?
I thought interesting things. James Carville was on MSNBC last night post debate.
The Raging Cajun.
Yes, sir, indeed. And one of the things he pointed out that I hadn't noticed, because I more listened than watched. As a matter of fact, I did not see the fly incident because I was doing something else on my computer while I listened to it. So I had to go back later and watch the fly on YouTube. But James Carville was saying that had this been a radio debate, the appearance would have been different. The outcome would have been different because Carville says he just plain lost the on camera while not talking portion of the debate, where he was grimacing during
shaking his head. From the first word Ms. Harris said.
Yeah. And again, that's that mansplaining thing I was talking about. As if he had no, and another commentator was saying that every time he did that, he got a look from Kamala Harris that every African-American mother knows very well, and one of complete dismissal. And if you don't stop what you're doing right now, something's about to happen. And she shot that look at him a number of times when he was interrupting. And it was Carville's contention that she won that hands down, that battle of the on-camera appearance.
That's interesting because, of course, Pence being the older white guy, but it really was weird, the fly in the hair, because at first I thought it was a bobby pin. Does this man, because you just saw this black thing in his hair, and I'm, you're not thinking fly.
Right. And From what I understand, I haven't gone in and looked at them, but I was looking earlier, and apparently Twitter just blew up over the fly on Pence's head. And I'm certain that a number of people have pointed out what can most readily attract flies.
Indeed. We'll have to look that up on Google.
You should probably, I think most people already understand what I'm talking about.
Well, let me talk to Deng Xiaoping. Oh, he's not around anymore.
Oh, right. So I'm reminded of a line from The Big Bang Theory when Leonard is trying to tell Sheldon that you can catch more flies with honey than you can with sugar. And Sheldon replies, well, you can catch a lot more with manure.
Indeed. And we don't know whether that was Mike Pence's goal or not. But other things going on. Did you see the breaking news on Michigan today?
Yes, I did.
The governor of Michigan?
And
right. Go ahead.
And of course, that's the group that Trump gave the shout out to.
The Proud Boys?
And one of yes, the Proud Boys. They're affiliated. And, you know, he gave them a shout out. And one of the things that happened last night was the moderator asked Pence directly whether or not that was proper, whether or not the president should say something. And he evaded that question. And once getting back to the mansplaining, Pence also kept shouting at Kamala Harris to answer his question. He had a question about the cutting of the Trump tax plan, and she did not do that. Well, Kamala Harris was not at that debate last night in order to answer questions from Mike Pence. Mike Pence was the one who kept evading questions. Kamala Harris wasn't there to answer Pence's questions. She was there to answer the questions of the moderator. And again, going back to what I said earlier, that's just indicative of those of privilege who expect their demands to be met while ignoring the demands of others.
Well, so what was he, the low-key Trump? I mean, a lot of the same tactics. I mean, you think it was a tactic to continue to talk, to assert privilege?
I'm certain that's what it is. I'm also very certain that everything he said was directed to him by Trump. That's the way Trump operates. And I'll give you another example of that. News came out today. I don't know if you saw this, but news came out today that doctors at Walter Reed were induced to sign non-disclosure agreements last year when it comes to the health of Donald Trump, which can explain the recent news conference from Dr. Scott Conley, who was the chief physician who tended to Trump while at Walter Reed. And during that, I don't know if you saw that press conference, but Conley gave virtually no information whatsoever.
People were inferring when he said, you know, we saw what was expected or something to that extent?
Yes.
And what was expected, and what he didn't say, people kept saying, pneumonia. I mean, does the president have pneumonia, and you just are being non-transparent? But you're saying that they were obligated under non-disclosure statements.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. And as one commentator, earlier I was watching the news, and one commentator said that that what makes this even more highly unusual is that the majority of the doctors at Walter Reed are military anyway and already have top secret clearances and are bound by those clearances to retain information from the public as it regards to their patients. So having them sign additional non-disclosure forms is highly unusual, unprecedented, in fact. And so I think that just illustrates the level of, shall we call it, paranoia on the part of Donald Trump. He wants everything to be in his power. He does not want to share any of that power. So that's why I say everything that Pence spoke about, I think, was directed by and orchestrated by Donald Trump himself. And so all the messages that Pence had to put forward to the American public last night came directly from Donald J. Trump. And again, I go back to the fact that every time Pence tried to paint the rosy picture of America today, he gave the credit for having that rosy outlook to Donald J. Trump.
You're listening to WGRN 94.1, The Green Renaissance. I'm talking with managing editor of the Columbus Free Press, Michael Allwood, and former host of the Blue Diner. A lot of stuff going on, also related to the first debate and the president obviously getting the virus. What did you think of his gesture of ripping off the mask defiantly? I was thinking that is so Mussolini.
That's definitely true. That's it's like I forget which of the Monty Python movies it was, but John Cleese standing atop the castle tower saying, "I fart in your general direction." And that's what it was. That's the kind of gesture that was. I fart in your general direction. And it's also indicative of the attitude that was in place at the White House prior to his diagnosis and apparently still exists. There are people earlier today on MSNBC talking about the situation. They were talking about the actual physical makeup of the White House. It was built, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and that is still not modernly ventilated. And the Obama administration, as a matter of fact, had plans to close the White House for 2 years just to modernize the HVAC of the building. And that as it is, it's in shambles. And so there's not proper ventilation in that building. And so the people who work in it, and as one commentator pointed out, particularly the young people who feel obligated to go to work every day, fear for their lives. There's panic within the White House. And so it's hard to know what's going on. And this leads back to another thing about the attitude of the president and keeping secrets from the American public. The American public, our friend Gary Richards posted something on Facebook the other day about the president's attitude during this time. And I made a remark about this is not, you know, hiding behind the HIPAA rules, which is non-disclosure of patients' information. Donald J. Trump is not the average American citizen. He's the leader of the free world. And the American people have the right to know, A, if he's in a proper state of mind, and B, the state of his health in general. That is not something that should be remain privileged to the patient and his doctor. The American people need to know. And if you want an indication of why that is so, see what happened to the stock market on news of the president's health and how the stock market has fluctuated according to how his health has gone.
And I suppose you would argue that how much taxes he pays also should be a public transparent issue.
Yeah, and we're still trying to convince him of that. And was it the New York Times that had the report about?
Yeah, the great investigative journalism, right? They got a hold of the tax records. And last year he paid $750.
And did you see Kamala Harris's remark to that last night? She said when she first heard that report, she thought, well, surely they mean $750,000.
That was a great line.
Yeah. But no, it was $750. And of course, once again, here, going back to Pence's propensity for painting a rosy picture, Pence started in saying that Donald J. Trump has paid millions in taxes and different kinds of taxes and sales taxes.
Where was his proof? As he's got workers. So he paid payroll taxes like everyone else in America who's a businessman?
Right. Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's like, you want to congratulating on him on tying his shoes properly, too?
Yeah. I mean, it seems so obvious, you know, as someone who's in the 22% tax bracket and, you know, has paid far more money than Donald Trump. It's really hard for me to believe comparatively how much taxes I pay. And again, other taxes, I got property taxes, et cetera. But somehow he's exempt. Is that the logic of Pence? He's exempt from paying personal taxes because he's a businessman?
Well, actually, if you read the report from the Times, their conclusion was that the way to him paying so little in taxes is because his businesses have lost money. And he's consistently lost money in his business practices. So where does that lead us? All this time, Donald Trump's message to the American people has been, I've been a great businessman. Look how successful I've been at business. Therefore, I will be a good chief executive to our country. I'll run our country like a big business, like the businesses I've run. Well, if the facts show us that his businesses have gone in the toilet, that maybe explains why our country has been going in the toilet.
Right.
Because he's running it
into the ground, just like his personal businesses.
That's exactly my point.
And Kamala Harris, of course, did make the point, is the other part of that taxes is he owes a lot of money to somebody. Who the hell is it? Who are they?
That was one of her best lines, I thought, last night, that he owes somebody. Who is it? And the implication, she didn't come out and say it, but one of the implications.
Can I say Russian mafia?
Yeah, well, there's, what about Chinese corporations?
Oh, sure.
What about Russian corporations? It is well known that he's done business in Russia.
And what about the Deutsche Bank?
Yeah, and it's very possible that he owes a lot of money to the Deutsche Bank. And so these are important questions to be answered. You talk about where your loyalty lies. What would explain his constant admiration for Vladimir Putin? It's well known.
The Russian mafia functions as part of the state apparatus and security intelligence forces. 1 minute and left, Putin Michael. What do you want to tell the people in the last minute?
Well, I think that people ought to pay good attention to what these people are saying, because they're lying to you at every turn. And I particularly want to ask American women, and I mean all American women, particularly white women who may be more prone to lean towards Trump, to their attitude. And we never even got to the Supreme Court nomination, which I believe is a tragedy, the way they're trying to push this through in order to lean the court even farther to the right than it is, because I believe their goal, their ultimate goal, is to overturn Roe v. Wade.
That's the last word, Michael. We're out of time. But thanks a lot, Michael Allwood. All right. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.